Blog Talk Radio.
What's good, bro? Yo, can you hear me?
Hang on. I can't hear you yet. Hang on. Okay. Almost ready.
Yeah, were you saying something to me?
No, I was just seeing if you could hear me because I was just talking.
Okay, yeah. No, I can hear you loud and clear, bro. All good. All systems all right. Go.
I want to make sure my mic. Make sure my mic was working.
Mic sounds great. And awesome. Getting ready to launch up. I'm gonna try like 2-man crews until I can figure out the situation with the highlights because the highlights have been kind of glitchy. So see how it comes out tonight. Damn, I opened up the wrong application. I'm going to try a 2-man cruise until I get... I ordered my new laptop, so should be coming in shortly.
Nice.
Yeah.
You think about doing a desktop for how much work you're doing?
Well, the new M1s is supposed to be, like, super powerful, so I'm going to stick with a laptop again and then just see how it goes. Because, I need to be on the go, too, so it's traveling and shit, so I just need, like, a little all-in-one.
I feel you.
Mm-hmm.
I got this desktop, and I was looking at the Mac Mini, and I was thinking about trying this desktop in, getting the Mac Mini, because I think it's like $600, but $800 if you get the 1 terabyte, and then just buy my own monitor for like $300. I think that just saves, it'd be like the cost of a MacBook Pro 13-inch.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking at.
Copy.
So yeah.
All right.
How was your weekend, though, man?
Yeah, it was all right, man. Pretty good. 4-2-0, Bulls 109-2-0, 103.
Just spend some time with the family before going to the Knicks game?
Yeah, basically.
Nice.
Day went by so fast.
Tell me about it.
All right. How's the chat looking? They getting antsy?
Yeah, they're trade everybody. Trade Mitch, right. Trade Evan, trade Kemba, the 2-1 dimensional.
Okay. All right.
Tibbs is doing a terrible job.
Oh, God. All right, check one, check two, check one, check two, check one, check two. Let me take a piss real quick. Ready to roll?
Yep.
Sunday night affair, Knicks post-game live presented by Manscaped. Knicks head to Chicago on a second of a back-to-back against a hot Chicago Bulls team, man, a team that you certainly have to respect. And although it was a sloppy affair, a lot of turnovers in the beginning, no offensive cohesion. Once again, you're a little bit worried. But the Knicks defense stepped up, kept them in the game, and kept them within striking distance to take this one. You saw encouraging play from your point guard, Kemba Walker, Julius Randle turning up in the third quarter. But the fourth quarter, as Bill Belichick would say, the other team just made more plays than we did, man. 3 3-point shots from Kobe White, the Knick killer, to start this thing off. And in the end, their close is closed. And ours just couldn't get the job done. Knicks fall, 109-103, tough loss to the Chicago Bulls, man. Bulls getting revenge. Knicks postgame live presented by Manscaped. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. CP the franchise here. Alex Rotaro, Stratocaster in the building. Al, how was your weekend, bro? How was everything, man?
It was a good weekend, man. Nice, relaxing. We got a nice Knicks win Saturday night, even though it was an ugly affair.
Yeah,
but then we had a better effort tonight. Not the way we wanted, but overall
tough.
Had a pretty good weekend.
Tough.
You know, had a good amount of pizza. Had some ramen, passed out.
All right,
10 hours of sleep. You know, how's your weekend?
Yeah, well, it was all right, man. You know, last night was a bit rough, even though we got the dub. But you know, going back to tonight, again, it was tough to see. It was tough to see because the Knicks came out to about an 11-point deficit. You thought with the offensive malaise, it was going to be a long night. Bulls defense was on point. But again, you know, going to that third quarter, I was very much encouraged by what I saw from an energized Kemba Walker. You know, mm-hmm. 7 points, three dimes in that third quarter was big. The first three possessions was all in Kemba's hands. And again, as we say, it all happens off of Kemba's drives and aggressiveness. He drove in the paint, got a mid-range shot. Drove in the paint, found Noel for the Gotham lob. Drove in the paint, got a nice tough layup. First three possessions of the third quarter was Kemba Walker. We saw him and Julius, a 1-2 connection going on. I saw a pick and roll with Kemba and Julius. I said, what is this? This is a miracle. I couldn't believe my eyes, bro. I couldn't believe what I was watching. So all that was good. You know, Kemba 7 points in that third. Julius 13 points in that third. But fourth quarter, I just felt like we just got out executed. And the chess match between Billy Donovan and Tibbs was interesting the whole entire night because Bulls went small. No Vucevic, no Patrick Williams. Bulls were going small with Bradley in the middle. It started the game off with Julius having to guard Caruso, which I thought got interesting. Now, we finished with a closing lineup of Julius and four guards. It was Rose, Burks, IQ, RJ, And I just felt like to close the game, Julius had it going, bro. It's hard to really knock him on a 34-10 and the way he shot the ball well, efficiently, and was killing him. But I just felt like, again, we just got too stagnant, too much isolation, and too predictable. And I felt like we didn't take advantage of the four ball handlers that we had out there, four playmakers, to really get them going and get the ball moving. What was on this game?
Absolutely. I think, well, you know, started a little rough for the offense, just for the Knicks to get into it. Then we see them end the first quarter, you know, getting back in the game. Second quarter came out strong, especially from the second unit. Julius was just on fire all night. Third quarter, I liked what I saw from the third quarter, you know, yeah. Even though it didn't end the way I liked that effort. I liked the defensive intensity that we saw from the Knicks. It's definitely different from what we saw, especially in between from the opening night against the Boston Celtics. I was happy about that. I think the thing that really struck out was that we were double teaming guys in the third and fourth quarter that we didn't need to double team, and just left guys wide open for three, whether that was Lonzo Ball, Kobe White. Those are key moments that really shifted the game for us when we were in it.
Yeah.
And then just put it in their favor. I also think Kemba Walker should have been in there towards the end of the game, because him and Julius, as you pointed out, him and Noel, the way he was playing, he was giving that offense that we needed in the third quarter. And I think we needed someone as a facilitator outside of Julius tonight to end the game, because the ball became a little too stagnant in the fourth quarter. Yeah, we saw too much isolation. Just give it to Randall, whether it was Rose bringing it up, pass it to Randall, pass it right back to D. Rose and right back to Randall, whatever guard brought it up. They'd always give it to Randall, and somehow it came back in Randall's hand, and then we waited until 5 seconds left in the shot clock, just do something. And that's not efficient offense. Now we're just putting too much pressure on Randall to do something instead of getting good ball movement. And you can even see how the game ended. You saw the Bulls have 21 assists. Knicks ended with 16. Not enough ball movement from this team, and that really is what helps opponents out when we're just not moving the ball.
Yeah.
No one's just able to, you don't have to fly around.
Especially a defense like this, one of the best half-court defenses in the league, you got to make them move. You know what I'm saying? You have to force rotations. And, again, Julius had his moments in terms of playmaking. He had his moments. One late in the fourth where he found IQ. It was either third or the fourth. I think it was the fourth. We had an IQ for a three-point shot. But I just felt like we didn't capitalize. Yes, we had to go small, and we had our advantages. But down the stretch, I just didn't like us having four ball handlers just watching Julius Randle in isolation, when I just felt like we should have been able to get some better rhythm shots on the offensive side. I didn't like the lack of execution down the stretch. I wasn't feeling it.
Yeah, it's we see this way too often too, because, and this has been my gripe throughout this entire season, and we saw it, it was better against the Celtics. It was better earlier in the season where we had some better ball movement, but now it's just gone away where we rely heavily on Randall to be this guy to do everything. And I know Derrick Rose has mentioned it throughout the season so far, where Randall's adapting to a new role, right? He's taking that step up from what he had to do last season. Even though he was the guy last season, he was the primary offense. Now he's not only the primary offense, but it looks like they're trying to make him the primary playmaker as well to help generate that offense. And last season, it was more so like a two-man game between him and Reggie. He would get it out to RJ, and that was really it in the first unit. Now we're talking about, okay, we have three other guys that you're trying to work with, three other guys who are now playmakers as well and can shoot. And I think that's just a different dynamic that Randall's not used to. So what we need to do is just lighten that pressure. And I think that's more so giving it to Kemba. And Kemba looked like he was ready to go. That's where I had to put this one on Tiz, where he's not necessarily reading what his players are doing in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see Kemba being able to attack and having that type of game and being efficient right at the third, that's where you're saying, okay, I know he hasn't had it other nights, but second of a back-to-back.
I would have let him
rock, doesn't
bro.
Play in the fourth quarter. Yeah, let's see what he can do.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't play that much to begin with anyway. This could have been a night where he could have gotten 25, 28 minutes, and it could have worked in our favor. I just want to see what he can do, especially since he's more of a facilitator in the sense with his first unit than Derrick Rose, because we've seen what Derrick Rose and Julius Randle are together. And it's not that they potentially can't work well together. We just saw from the playoffs last season that D. Rose is so on-ball dominant that he has to create for himself and then everybody else, and it flows through him. Now you're asking two guys who really are trying to generate the offense for everybody else to coexist with one another, and I just don't think that really exists, that really can work.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I would have rocked with Kemba to close. I thought he deserved it based on the way that he got us going in that third quarter. Tibbs usually goes with the hot hand, but tonight he went with Rose down the stretch, and Rose didn't really have it for us. So that was one thing. If you want to go back to some bad, I thought despite RJ just being atrocious from the perimeter, you know, it was tough because his shot was abysmal. His free throw shooting was once again abysmal, 5 of 8, and 15 boards, you know. And I thought for the most part, I liked his defense out there, particularly against LaVine for most of the game. So, but you got to make your shots, man. You got to make your shots. I mean, between RJ and Fournier, we just didn't get enough, again, from our starting unit and from our starting wings. You know, RJ 2 of 12 from the field, Fournier 1 for 7. Your two wings went 3 for 19, 0 for 5 from three. It's hard to win that way. Even though we got contributions off the bench, just hard to win that way.
Yeah, it really is hard to win that way. And we haven't really been on RJ enough. I know he's in a slump right now. He hasn't been shooting the ball well. Tonight was nice to see him defensively. It's interesting to see that he got a positive 6 in the plus-minus category today just because his defense was that good on Fournier. But if you're going to be considered the second or third option on this team, you have to hit your shots. There's just no way around it, especially if we're going to be in games. And we've seen RJ be in these type of slumps before, but 2 for 12, 5 for 8 from the free throw line. And that's another way. That's another thing that was killing us, is that he wasn't hitting his free throws down the end, down the stretch of this game. Like we needed those free throws to keep it close, to make it a little bit easier on this team. And you just have to do that. You know, when you're getting fouled, you get to the line, you got to hit your shots. That's what being a top player on this team is. 2 for 12 is nothing pretty. He was 0 for 2 from three. I think RJ is just having a tough time finding rhythm right now. He's just in a shooting slump. I don't know what it is for him, really, to say, but got to figure it out. And with Fournier, he is so up and down, man. I honestly don't know. I feel like this is – I wonder if it's because he's so used to being the guy in Orlando and having the ball in his hand most of the time that he's not comfortable being off ball. This is just kind of like that Derrick Rose, Julius Randle situation I was talking about, two guys that need to be on the ball a lot. Maybe the situation is you got to get Fournier more touches as a playmaker to get him in rhythm. But 1 for 7, 0 for 3 for tonight, 3 points.
Lackluster.
You can't be the $75 million man, even though it's really 3 years, not the 4 years, because it is a team option. But you still got to – it's more 3 for 58, what his value really is. But you got to give something more than that than 3 points. I think what Tibbs needs to do for him is really get the ball in his hand, do a little bit more playmaking, to have him and Kemba really bring it up and really just relax. Like, take Julius off. We don't need him to be the point forward. Yep. I like what he was doing tonight, though. I like what Julius was doing tonight, volleyballing in the paint. That's really what we missed him doing, and I think that's what you need to bring Walker and Fournier to do. Figure out how to get them driving towards the paint, doing whether it's a curl for Fournier, driving down the lane, dishing it out to somebody, or just getting him on the ball just to create his own shot in the mid-range. Because we're just relying too much on Randle, and it's just getting a little too stagnant for this team.
No, big facts, man. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. CP, Alex Retires, the Tratacaster in the building. We're going to take your phone calls in a little bit. Give us a call. Let us know what you thought about the game. 657-383-1509 is the number to call. It's the small ball lineup, as we said, Al. You know, We did go small. We were forced to do so with not just the Bulls going with their smaller lineup, but also with Nerlens Noel in and out with foul trouble. Yes, we did see Sims for a little bit. He came in for a cup of coffee. That had some impact. I thought he had about 2 block shots. You know, definitely had some impact there. But the small ball lineup, it's a tricky thing because, yes, we needed it to match up but we also needed rim protection in the end, because you had, like, you know, you had LaVine, you had DeRozan, you had those guys really attacking at will, drawing contact, and you just wonder if we had that paint protection, would it have ended with the same result? Because I thought Noel's help defense, for the most part, there were still some leaks in his, but I thought his help defense, for the most part, was pretty solid. So it's a trick, it's a catch 22 there when you're trying to match small, when then you sacrifice the rim protection.
Yeah, and I mean, the point about going small is to put guys with bigger, non-mobile bigs in a position where they can't defend right, and to really get them, like, off balance on defense.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see a little bit more from Tibbs in trying to do that. Maybe it would have been a better matchup because, this, once again, if they're going small, it gives us a chance to try to go small and see what Obi can do with Randall at the five. Mm-hmm. But I think it did hurt not having Mitch or Taj at least. Like, if we at least had Taj, someone else who can just help with the rotations, call things out on defense. You know, you could have started, you know, you start Nerlens, you have Taj coming off the bench. I think that would have helped. I don't know how much of a difference it would have made. I think Mitch would have made a bigger difference if he was healthy tonight, because I think it's – Mitch just alters everyone's shots so dramatically once they get into the paint. Having two of those guys – and, like, we saw what Nerlens Noel can do, but between both of those guys, it's hard to it's hard to think just, like, have one of them just 30 minutes. I think you have that balance of, like, 28 minutes each and see who's riding the hot hand and who's not sore by the end of the game. But Mitch's presence was – surely miss, especially on the boards, man, getting second chance for, like, offense, that's where Mitch, like, really kills, and that's where we could have used that help today. This is gonna be a game where you think, man, what if we had Mitch, if we had our healthy centers, or just say, hey, Tibbs, just be a little bit more, you know, give Obi that time to really get into the flow of the game, because you only had 13 minutes tonight. I would have liked to see what he could have done with 18. He was efficient tonight, 3 for 5, 2 for 3 from the three-point line, 2 for 2 from his three free throws, 6 boards, giving you the assist, bringing the ball up and moving it around. I think Obi brings another dimension that this team really hasn't unlocked yet. You know, I would like to have seen him, Randall, whether it's Burks, IQ, and whoever running the point, and just run out and just get out in the open floor and really put pressure on the Bulls to see if they can also keep up with us. Because at this point, we're trying to keep up with teams who are trying to go small. And it's just, we saw that with the Sixers where it was close when they were going small. It was us trying to keep up with them. Mm-hmm. We see that with the Bulls tonight. It's us trying to keep up with them. I think it's time to put it on opposing defenses, see if you can keep up with us. Because Obi is just so athletic that you just can't keep him on the bench. You have to give him his time to shine.
Got to see if we can get O-Dog some more consistent minutes, man. No doubt about it. He's definitely been taking advantage of the limited minutes that he's been getting. 7-27 from downtown, abysmal from three. You know, our key gunners, again, just not having it. 0-3 for Fournier, 0-2 for RJ. Rose, 1-2. OB, 2-3. My guy Burks, only 3 attempts, 1-3. IQ, 1-8 from downtown. So even though we didn't have it from downtown, I was still encouraged by the fact that, you know, we were attacking, we were aggressive. And despite the fact that the officiating was all over the place, I mean, one point
it was atrocious.
One point you're playing schoolyard ball, next point that, you know, you breathe on a guy and it's a foul. So they were all up and down, but at the end of the day, I was encouraged by the fact that the Knicks were being aggressive, taking advantage of the Bulls' lack of size, going to the hole. And we still mustered out 31 free throw attempts, 26 to 31. I like that, because to me, the free throw attempts have been going down. And when your shots aren't falling, we have to be able to put pressure on the rim still. And we have the guys that can do it if they can just do it consistently, whether it's Julius, RJ, we saw Kemba doing it, D. Rose, Burks is a guy that can draw contact. We got to be able to do that more frequently in the game, man, to mix up the way we get points, because a 3-point shot's not always going to be there.
Yeah, and it really tells you how much they hit their 3-pointers in the beginning of the season, because we're still top 5 in 3-point percentage right now, which is
crazy.
Baffling to me, because it feels like we've been bricking from 3 for the most part every single game. But I want to touch on the refs, because that really also affected. There's so many things that affected this game tonight. The refs, they were just so, as you said, inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
you didn't know what you could do. And I feel like that gave players like DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine more, gave him a better opportunity just to take advantage of this game. Sure, you could say Randall got to the line, mm-hmm. Burks got to the line, Barrett got to the line. They all should have, especially Barrett when it comes to hitting their free throws.
Gotta hit your free throws.
But you don't know what you can do on defense. And, like, everyone was just confused. Like, how am I supposed to defend? I don't know what's going to be a foul. There has to be some level of consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just no level of consistency to understand how to play defense.
It was all over
for
the
both,
place.
For both sides.
Yeah, yeah. It was all over the place for both sides. No doubt about it. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Tough loss tonight, man. 109-103. Knicks fight. But just fall short in Chicago. Like I said, man, I just felt like the other team made a bit more plays than we did down the stretch. To quote Bill Belichick, I know you don't like that quote, Al, but
nope.
I'm going to throw that one out there. Remember, this show is presented by Manscaped. Fellas, go to manscaped.com, enter promo code KFTV for 20% off plus free shipping. You got the products like the Lawnmower 4.0, excellent stocking stuffer for the holiday season, no pun intended. But, yeah, man, go tell your lady, go get you one of these, man. All right, let's get to the phone. 657-383-1509 is the number to call. Real quick, let me shout out some of the super chats that have come in. Shout out my guy, Rare Edition. Bumped into Rare Edition at the Knick game last night, Al. Yeah, just in the hallway. Bumped into Rare Edition. Shout out to everybody that pulled up on me at last night's game. We had a good time. He says, number 30 needed help tonight. He carried a team. Last minutes of the game, he needed to create some spontaneity. Maybe we could have had Kemba and Bulls had it tonight, and they made space for easy shots. I agree with that. Kenny Gale, super chat. Obi's minutes make my soul hurt. Free Obi. Shout out Bad Book One, man. Bad Book One hasn't been around in a minute. He's a Bulls fan, but he's a supporter of Knicks Fan TV. He says, salute CP, Alex, and all Knicks fans. Good game, but my Bulls got it in the end. Great seeing my Bulls and your Knicks in a better place. Loving the NBA. Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. So salute to Bad Book One. Always the diplomat. All right. Back to the phones. Let's go to Active Harlem World. Hector, what's going on?
Let's get a thumbs up for the voice of the Orange and Blue, CP, and our filling guest. Just wanted to say, yeah, I know I haven't called in a while, CP, but yeah, man, tough loss tonight. I actually wanted to just get rapid fire with it to start out tonight. I think this is kind of important to point out, and it's kind of becoming more apparent to me. I think Tom Thibodeau, and I'm a Tom Thibodeau guy, but I think this has to be said. He's turning into the Mike McCarthy of the New York Knicks. And what I mean by that is with Mike McCarthy, it's clock management. And with us, it's substitutions. That man is stubborn and he's not getting the message. Still believe in Tom. But tonight, it just goes to show. Derrick Rose is in there. I think that's one of Derrick Rose's most atrocious performances that he's been here in New York that I've ever seen, because he's there for offensive transition, and, well, it wasn't there tonight. I mean, defensively, I mean, Derek wasn't – it was an off night for Derek. Kemba should have been in there, and he didn't – I don't know what Tom was thinking. I could understand why he wanted Julius back in the game, because Julius was really efficient tonight. Funny enough, I'm not blaming Julius tonight. He was actually great tonight. But Obi Toppin, I could understand why he kind of had a tough decision subbing him out for Julius. But a lot of just the question – there's a lot of questions going on with – I can't lie with Tom's rotations. I don't know what's going on with him. Alex is showing that he's shooting the ball better tonight. Emmanuel wasn't as bad. Again, he's playing well. But you guys said it earlier. I wish Mitchell was in there because, you know, he would have at least made a couple of these guys like Zach LaVine. Anybody who would have tried to come in the paint, he would have reared their shot. Regardless, we're obviously off to Phoenix, you guys. So now it's going to get tough because we're headed into the dog days, like they say in baseball. We're headed into the dog days of the winter now. And this is where we're really going to find out about this team. So I just want to hear your guys' feedback. I'm really disappointed, but obviously a long ways to go, guys. You guys make me proud. Go Knicks.
Appreciate the call, Hector. Hector from Harlem World. Harlem, stand up. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think when you speak about the substitutions tonight, like I said, I was looking for Kemba in that fourth quarter. I was definitely looking for Kemba in that fourth quarter, especially given the fact that D-Rose didn't have it for us. Where do you find OB's minutes? I thought, you know, the brief period that he and Randall were out there together, I thought we saw some good things.
Mm-hmm.
But again, with the Bulls matching up so small and the Knicks, because I felt like part of the issue when the fourth started was when you had OB out there, it wasn't all his fault, but you had some situations where the three-point rotations were off, and part of it was you had OB on Caruso for a hot second.
Mm-hmm.
So I think part of it was just trying to match up, man, because the Bulls had, you know, they had some speed out there. They played smaller. And you were caught in the in-between. It's like, okay, do you go with OB and a traditional big like Noel? Do you stay with OB and Randall? How does it impact you on the perimeter defense? I thought it was a tricky thing. I was definitely looking for Kemba to close over Rose tonight, and it didn't happen. So, I mean, you want to question Tibbs on the rotations, I think, certainly valid.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tibbs' rotations just this entire season, and I get not wanting to mix and match with it too much in the first 10 games. You want to create some consistency. You want to get guys on the same playing field and understanding whose roles is what.
Mm-hmm.
But as we get further into the season and you start to see certain rotations, certain lineups don't work, it's a time to tinker, because even he said it himself, right? You guys, you know, they keep saying that, it takes 10 games to get used to each other, 20 games, 30 games, 40 games before you know it's the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes for coaching too. That goes for seeing what your players are doing and who's jiving with who and who's not. So for tonight, we saw, as you said, we saw that small ball rotation. We saw OB not getting out to the three-point line. He was also out there with, you know, I feel like for part of it too, for the three-point rotations, he was out there with Noel as well. Mm-hmm. And Noel was helping on that double team. And so we were just leaving guys wide open in the corner, just knock down shots. And once again, that was like where the game turned around. But, you know, OB is, I just think of it defensively, you know, it's not going to probably be pretty.
Mm-hmm.
The offense that you're looking for when you go small ball, you're looking for these guys to push and get out to the floor and put the defense on their toes. Not necessarily to be a defensive stalwart, not have rim protection. You're giving that up to go full in on offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we saw when we see the Utah Jazz go against the LA Clippers. They're like, we're going to give up the defense by not having Zubac out there because we don't think Gobert can keep up with us if we push the court,
right?
Push the pace every single time. And it worked for them. And in this case, you'd just be matching it with the Bulls. Granted, they have some athletic guys, like you have Derek Jones, who's a high flyer, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Alex Caruso, Lonzo Ball. Those guys are flying up and down the court. Talk about guys who can play make for one another, guys who can more so LaVine, DeRozan, and Lonzo can knock down the shots.
Mm.
Caruso, he can sometimes if he's wide open, but nonetheless, you still have guys that can fly up and down the court, so they're just going to take advantage of everybody and switching. So I don't know. I think for tonight was the time to try it. It's tough though. It's not easy to figure this all out. It's a 10-man rotation that we have. We're a very deep team, and figuring out who gets minutes at what time, it's not as easy as we say to the Bulls, because the Bulls have, you know, we know who the Bulls are and like who they're going to use every single night. They don't have to worry about 10 guys. They're like, oh, we got the 5-6 guys. Uh-huh. We can roll with them. They can get most of the minutes. For us, we have 10 guys, and to figure out who's going to have it at what point during the game,
it's not easy.
It's difficult. It's not easy.
Yeah,
it's not easy.
Definitely not easy. So to everybody in the chat, once again, let's get those likes up. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Shout out to Hoodies Vintage for the super chat. He says, tough loss, shaky subs in the fourth. OB needs more minutes. RJ and Evan need to snap out of it ASAP. Maybe run some plays for them early. Hashtag free Kemba. Junior Caroma super chat says, Knicks fans in the chat just need to be quiet about Julius Anthony. Despite the loss, hopefully this can get him going again because he's so key, man. Yeah, look, you had a dominant game by Julius tonight. 34 points, 10 rebounds, super efficient on the night. I thought he played well, man. Again, I love that pick and roll with Kemba. It was a Christmas miracle, Al. I've never seen anything like that, man. My eyes got so wide. I said, whoa. What's going on, man? So that was crazy to see. But again, and while he said it on the post game, he said, I need to see more of that. I've been asking for that since the playoffs ended. Can we get Julius easier shots? You can't rely on this isolation one-on-two every single trip. He's going to burn out. He's going to get tired. He's not going to make those shots consistently. Superstar players do. He's not a superstar. So you got to help him. You have to help him. So, again, and that's why I didn't necessarily like the play calling down the stretch, because we saw some, you know, the shot clock is draining. We're getting terrible shots. We got four playmakers. We got four ball handlers out there. I thought we should have been utilizing that a lot more to get the ball moving instead of playing right into Chicago's hands. In a half-court defense, they don't have to move. They key in on our one guy, and that's pretty much it.
I can't remember. Did they go in zone tonight? Because I feel like this is why they go also go in zone. They're like, oh, they're going ISO?
I don't recall seeing that vividly. I don't recall seeing that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't recall seeing that. People in the chat, let us know if you saw the Bulls running any zone tonight. I don't recall seeing them playing in a zone. And if it was, it wasn't for that long. You know, another thing with Julius is just getting the ball deeper in the post. You know, just getting the ball deeper in the post. You got Lonzo, you got Caruso on you, and he's still catching the ball out in the elbow, and you're working too hard to try to get your points. Establish yourself deeper in the post. Get it to him. If he's got to reestablish, he's good to go. And quick first step, you're right at the hoop. So, you know, those are just the things I just like to see, man. We just not doing it. Shout out to Popo171. Popo sends a super chat. I think I ran into him last night at the Rockets game. Shout out Popo171. Says RJ 40 for 139 from the field last 10 games. He needs to be better. Tibbs' offense is horrible and predictable. Need more pick and roll from RJ and Mitch when he isn't injured. Yeah, shout out Popo171. There's no way around it. You know, you guys know Broadway is my guy. I rock with him to the end. But he's building a brick house out there. You know what I'm saying? He's building a brick house out
for
there.
Sure.
There's no way around it.
For sure. And I saw you had that crispy 75th anniversary RJ Barrett jersey.
Yeah, I did. I repped it yesterday, rocked it yesterday. And again, you know, the 15 boards, I still have to give him credit for that. The defense, I still have to give him credit for that. And just getting to the free throw line, 8 attempts, I give him credit for those things. That's impacting the game when your shots aren't falling. But a couple of those shots hit, we can win this game. And on top of that, the bunnies are back. The missed bunnies are back, man. In the first quarter, he had about three easy layups that he just could not finish, man. No confidence in his finishing. And he was doing that well to start the season. So, you know, that's a frustrating thing about RJ, man. You got to finish at the hoop and make your free throws. A couple of those go down, might be a different story tonight.
Yeah, I hate saying that he's 21 because I feel like at this point, year three, right? You've been in the league this is your third year. I know you're still on the younger side, but at the same time, like, if you want to be that dog, you know, guys who are much younger come in here doing a lot more.
Yeah.
And they're much more consistent. It's all about consistency, and you can't go for that long. What do you say, 40 for 100 out of 139?
40 for 139.
Yikes.
And it's building a condo. It's a two-family house out there, man. Damn. Come on, RJ, man. You got to snap back into it, man.
I want to ask you this, though. Mm-hmm. I know obviously it sucks to lose, but mm-hmm. It's a second of a back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
What's your meter on this? What's your meter on this game? Like, are you encouraged by the effort by tonight? Are you upset because they could have felt like you could have done more? Where are you at right now?
You know, I saw a funny tweet on Twitter just before we went on. Somebody said I felt better about tonight than last night, and I might agree with him. I might agree with him. I was disgusted after that win last night, even though my guy Burks went off. You ought to be Burks high stand up and all of that. I was still disgusted with what I saw, you know, struggling to beat that Rockets team. Now you're going to Chicago, second of a back-to-back. No, you know, no moral victories. I'm not trying to be the moral victory guy, but I still think the positives, we saw Julius in his bag. Can he continue that? Kemba, you know, can he be consistent there on the second night of a back-to-back? We saw an inspired Kemba, an aggressive Kemba, especially in that third quarter where we haven't had as much success. I like that effort there. I like this attacking, getting to the free throw line. Is that consistent, or is that just us playing against a small ball lineup? So, you know, again, you know, obviously a tough loss because I felt like we could have won it, but I felt there were some positives that I took away from this game to see if, you know, we can keep that going.
Yeah, I can get with you on that. I'm not as upset as the loss. What was the loss earlier this week? Who to lose to? That was like it was against the Magic. Yeah, Magic. It's not as bad as against the Magic.
Yeah,
because that was just horrendous. Last night was just a disgusting win. Tonight, we were right there, and I think you said it. It was the third quarter. Just seeing the effort in the third quarter. If we can get that on a consistent basis, and just a better start to games, I think this team will be fine. But let's see, like, obviously the next game. Let's see how we play against the Lakers on Tuesday and see if this is just, you know, a flash in the pan or we go back to the same bad habits later this week.
Facts.
But there are definitely some good signs. I can agree with you on that.
So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. All right, here's where we're going to go on the phones. I want to hear from, we're going to Mohammed from Australia, and then we're going to go to Michael on the Discord. So, Michael, if you're listening, make sure you get ready. Let's go with my guy, Mo Ballin. Check it in from the land down under. Mo Ballin, what's good, bro?
Hey, guys. Shout out to everyone. We've got 900 people in the chat, so we should see 900 thumbs up. Great work as usual, guys. Love it. Disappointing loss. I'm going to be a bit emotional because I'm an ex-Chicago fan. I grew up watching D-Rose, let's put it this way. So it's always tight for me, these sort of matchups, but I'm thoroughly disappointed, and I put it on Thibs to work the chemistry bit out. He's the coach. He's the brains behind the operation. I, again, call out that I don't believe it's a personnel issue. It's a more of a fit and chemistry issue. I'm going to say it right here, right now. Give IQ the keys. I don't know what's going to happen. I actually am dumbfounded by this loss. And I know there's a lot of people calling out there about, you know, should it be a pop-in, should it be, I don't know who the solution is, but you can't win when you're down the first quarter. So many games. If you just look at the plus-minus, look at the worm, we're always playing from behind. The bench comes in, drags you to some sort of close matchup. This isn't going to work. I don't know if they need to blow it up. I'm emotional right now, so I'm going to be upfront. There's no science in what I'm trying to say. I'm thinking, do we blow it all up and just, you know, let the young guys run in and get that? Because I don't know what else they're going to do. Either they hand the keys to Rose to start or IQ to start, make a decision. You look at the Bulls. The Bulls aren't very bench-heavy. They've got three guys that just show up.
Yeah,
and that's
but they play defense.
CP, I don't know. You tell me what the solution is, because I'm looking at this going, this is going south. Maybe I've just had an emotional day, but yeah.
Yeah. So good, man. This is the place to let it out, man. This is Knicks Fan TV, number one show for the fans by the fans, Mo. Don't feel embarrassed, man. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and let it out. This is a safe space for you, my guy. Do we put IQ in the starting lineup? Do you put Burks in the starting lineup for Fournier? You know, the way Kemba came out in that third quarter, it's like, damn. The way he came out in the first quarter, didn't even finish the second half. Well, I think once he came out with 5 minutes left in the first quarter, he didn't see the rest of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, the rest of the half. He didn't see the rest of the half. But then, again, he played well in the third. So it's hard to make that decision off of how you saw him play. But maybe, you know, throwing IQ out there is something that we go with after, I don't know, 20-something games. You know, that's on the coach, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that it's more of a – I don't know what the issue is, if it's Kemba and his playmaking, if it's Evan Fournier not giving us his playmaking and his option. We just need someone. I don't know if there's too many chefs in the kitchen who are trying to play make. I don't know if there's not enough. It goes back and forth. Like I said, it goes back and forth to what do we need? Like if you're looking for Randle to be that guy to dominate the ball and maybe have Kemba work off of him, maybe you move Fournier and you don't have another playmaker. Maybe you have someone like Alec Burks who can get his own shot and be okay just being out in the corner and just being on the perimeter and it can knock down a shot. Unlike Fournier, who can then go on with the second team and be another playmaker. I don't know if that takes away from Quickley or Rose if you do that in the second unit, but that's one option. If you want to add Quickley to the starting unit and say you don't need Kemba walking, you want to run it through Fournier, you just need someone to just spot up and shoot, I think we're really limiting what Quickley can do at that point. Because once again, it's like how many guys do you need to touch the ball? What are you looking out of him? What are you looking for Quickley to do in this lineup? I feel like it's more. I feel like it's. I just don't know which way to lean. Yeah. It's just too much more playmaking or not enough shooting that we like just perimeter shooting. Because that was the thing about Bullock last season, right? Uh-huh. We didn't ask him to do a lot of playmaking. He was ready just to shoot for catch and shoot. And Kemba Walker is not really the guy who's just fine just waiting off to the wings to catch and shoot. If you want Randle to be that type of person, he needs the ball in his hand. Fournier, he can from time to time, but he's really not that guy. So I guess it all depends on what you want this offense to look like and how you want to add people to it.
Yeah, I mean, see, the thing with me is that when you put in IQ and Burks in the lineup, I still don't think you're solving your lack of playmaking. You know what I mean? Yes, you may improve your scoring consistency, but you're still not getting an engine for your offense, which is what I think we need, especially when the offense gets so bogged down because we don't move without the ball. We're last in the league in scoring off of cuts, so it's very isolation heavy on Julius. So even if you're bringing in IQ and Burks, okay, if you want guys to play off of them a little bit better than what Kemba and Fournier are doing right now, maybe, but I don't think you're still not getting a great ball handler and a guy that's going to play make and get Julius easier shots, Mitch, RJ, so on and so forth. So I think the solution right now is just to hope that you get more consistency from Kemba and Fournier. Well, from what you're seeing right now, it's hard to make that bet.
I hear you. I think I would like to see Kemba do more of that playmaking. Like we haven't seen it. Like tonight was the night, I think, probably one of the nights where he had four assists. I feel like that's the most assists he's had this season in this playing with these guys. I feel like we need Kemba to be that engine and then just let everyone else just fall into place. If I had to say something like not necessarily remove Fournier, just limit his playmaking options, limit Randle's playmaking options, and have really a lot of things run through Kemba. Because Kemba's not going to just stand in the corner, like I said. He's not going to be that type of guy. Have him attack the paint, even though he's looked shaky doing it. He looked good tonight doing it. Mm-hmm. Have him be the guy attacking the paint. Have him be the guy give it to Randle down on the block and have Randle start working. And then if you want to do time-to-time point Randle because you can, that's fine. But let Kemba be that guy initiating the offense. Because at that point, he's not your all-star defender. He's not giving us a lot of offense when he's just waiting out on the wings. Mm-hmm. So what is his role out there? I feel like we got to utilize him and have him be that type of playmaker if he's going to be on this team.
Now, you know, tonight it's kind of an inverse of how things have went, right? A lot of our issues have been with the starters in particular in the third quarter. This time we outscored the Bulls 29-21 in the third, led by Julius and Kemba, who went off. It was the bench that gave up those threes early in the fourth that, you know, the Bulls were able to take the lead on. You know, IQ was in there, Burks, Obi, D Rose was in there. So it was the bench that hurt us defensively. And you know, Obi White was a guy that was a Knick killer. He didn't play in the first game. I was wondering what his impact was going to be in the second game. And even though it was a quiet first half for him, he came back and ripped us three-point shots for Kobe White, 3-6 from downtown, 14 points. And that was a big swing for the Bulls. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Knicks lose 109-103. CP, Alex Rotaro, Satraticast are in the building. All right, let's hear from some more people. Shout out Flow Hypnotic sends a super chat. He says our second leading scorer can't go 2-12 against elite teams, period. It's a make or miss league. That's a fair point, man. RJ's got to step up. All right, we're going to go to Michael on the Discord. If you guys are new in the chat, leave us a hashtag new, man. We'll shout you guys out. Oh, creeping up on 1,000 people in here. Yeah, so, yeah, definitely drop a hashtag new. If you guys are new in the chat, we'll shout you guys out. All right, to the Discord we go. Michael, what's good? Yep. Michael, going once?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, what's good, bro?
We had it, man. The third quarter was great. I mean, the third quarter was the most fluid we looked. It's the first game, maybe like the first couple of games, but like that third quarter, it was like Kemba running nice offense, like nice plays. Mm-hmm. It was nice to see. Like my eyes was enjoying that. It was crazy how like I was like, okay, let's go, let's do this. Mm-hmm. And then Tibbs, I mean, like I don't know why you would keep Rosen, not putting Kemba. Quickly didn't have it, and I think that's another thing is like if Quickly doesn't have it. We have Grimes, but I know he won't play it, so that doesn't bother me as much. But, like, Fournier, oh, Lord, man, Fournier is making me think that Tim Hardaway Jr.'s contract was actually decent, man, thinking about it, man. I don't know. 74 million for Fournier is kind of looking a little spooky right now, man. But I don't know. I think coming trade deadline, someone, at least one player might get traded. I don't know if they're gonna be Fournier. Knox is not doing anything, so Knox. But I don't know. Like we need. I don't know what we need, but we need consistency. So we need a player that's really consistent to really like push it, I think. And we also need just to fix whatever the hell is going on with RJ these last games. I mean. I'm not mad at him, like, on the defensive side, you know, it's fine if you play good defense, but, like, one or two shots, wide-open layups.
Wide-open layups.
Like, 5 for 12 or 5 for 14, that's fine. You made 5 shots and you go 7 for 8 or 6 for 7 instead of, what do you go, 3 for 6 or 4 for 8?
He went, it was 5 for 8, I think.
You can't miss 3 free throws. It was a 6-point game. Those 3 free throws were a +3. Yeah. And Fournier, with all the bricks he was shooting, with RJ and with Quickly, I mean, and also, you know, a turning point was Noel. Noel, offensive 3 seconds. Stupid fouls that he did.
Yeah.
The offensive 3 seconds, Quickly hit a 3. Mm. Right, like, as soon as they called it. So, with the RJ free throws, that Quickly 3, and maybe another bucket we could have had in the first quarter, we would have won. It's stupid things that made us lose the game that we couldn't won. So, yeah, that's all I got to say.
Hang in there, man. Hang in there. Go coming through with the bars.
Better than the Rockets game, at least.
Yeah, better than the Rockets game, man. For sure. All right, bro. Michael on the Discord, man. Throw some fives in the chat for Michael. Michael's setting the tone, man. Some of you callers that's calling in, you better come with some heat. You better come with some facts. Or we're just going to go to Michael as the third seat, man, and just talk to Michael for the rest of the show. So you callers have been put on notice, man. Better come with the heat because Michael is bringing it every night, man. That's 3 times this kid is coming with straight heat, bro. He don't miss.
Yo, he mentioned the Tim Hardaway contract and Evan Fournier.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah. The kid's sharp.
He knows his stuff.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Salute to the Discord. Salute to everybody rocking on the Discord. TM, gotta be legend. AO Power, everybody running the Discord. Definitely appreciate everybody getting that up to speed. Discord coming in crispy. Somebody in the chat is looking for the Discord link, so let's go ahead and throw that up there. TM, if you're in the chat, just throw the Discord link in there for the guy in the chat. Looking for it. Knicks Post Game Live presented by Manscaped. Yeah, shout out to Michael, man. He's bringing that heat. All right, a couple more calls. Let's go to Let me see who I want to hear from. Val, I see you on there. We might close with you tonight, just looking at the lineup right now. So hang on, Val. We might close with you tonight. Let's go to Joel from Shaolin. Joel from Staten Island. What's going on?
Yo, what's good, yo?
How you feeling, bro?
I'm good. I'm good. So basically, we lost this game, basically. Our starters shot it, besides Julius Randle, our starters shot a combined 9 of 32 from the field.
Mm-hmm.
We shot 24% or something like that from three. You're just not going to win games like that.
Yeah.
So basically, that's how we lost this game. I'm not even going to really get into this game. What I really want to talk about, I really want to talk about RJ Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
You see, us as Knicks fans, we've kind of like, I'm not going to say overrate this dude, but he's not. I understand it's year three. He's 21 years old, but like, you watch the dude, you watch him play. He doesn't have a bag. He doesn't have moves. He doesn't have a right hand, for crying out loud. This dude, mm-hmm. he has tunnel vision as well. I personally think, and I'm going to be honest, I'm going to leave it like this. I personally think for our future, this guy is like, his ceiling is really Harrison Barnes more than an all-star, in my opinion. I've been watching him since Duke. I never really seen the star potential. Because if a dude has no dribble moves, you can't be a star if you have no half-court game.
Okay.
This dude, he has his game is strictly on transition. His half-court game is bully bowling into his left hand. They're taking his left hand away now. So he's not able to go to his left. They're taking that away. He's missing bunnies now. He can't finish around the rim. And his three-point shot is not even going down this year so far. I still have hope in him, but I don't see the star ceiling that some Knicks fans see. Because I talk to people, and the only people I hear that say RJ Barrett is better than Tyler Hero's Knicks fans. So we gotta be honest with the player that we have.
Mm-hmm.
His contract
mm-hmm.
here, hopefully he steps it up, but somebody's gotta step it up, because we're going into a crazy schedule over these next 2-3 weeks, and if we don't step it up, you know where that's going.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
Appreciate you, bro. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man.
I mean, fair critique, Al. You know, I think it's a fair critique. I don't think he really said anything that was a stretch. I think it's a fair critique. Even though Harrison Barnes is having himself quite a year so far. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
is it all star type? Yeah, he might be right. He could be more of a Harrison Barnes type.
Mm-hmm.
And again, depending on who you add in as your better chips, maybe that's not a bad thing. But right now, it's not enough for us. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Like it's not enough because we're looking for him to be the second or third guy, and a second and third guy, it's one thing to have one, two games where you go ice cold, 2 from 12. It's another thing when you've gone, as the previous caller said, 40 for 139 over your last 10 games from three. And especially if we're relying on you to help us win games. I think it's a fair critique, and I think it's fair to wonder how good RG is going to be. I think it's also fair to wonder, like, what is his ceiling? I think he's going to be a good player for this team. I also think that he kind of gets us in what we're trying to do with this team as well. I think we're trying to run it through Julius, and you give Julius a lot of the touches. What's RJ going to do? You know, RJ had a lot of touches tonight, right? You had Randle get 19 attempts. You had RJ get 12. But are they all in rhythm? Is he forcing a lot of shots? Is someone looking for RJ to get in rhythm? Mm-hmm. RJ is not necessarily that guy who's right now going to create for himself. He's more of a guy that needs somebody to help create for him. Same thing with like Obi. That's why it was good when you see like when RJ was getting into it against the Magic or against the Rockets, where we saw a lineup of Rose, RJ, Quickly, Burks, and I think we saw Toppin for a little bit, or maybe it was even Nerlens Noel. Mm-hmm. You just see it was Toppin. You just see these guys running, and you see these guys being open in the court. You see guys looking for RJ, and RJ being able to finish out in transition,
mm-hmm.
RJ finding his spots being set up so that way he can shoot and get to the spots that he wants to get to. He's not the guy right now that can create for himself. He can somewhat create for others when he drives and kicks it out to somebody, or if he dumps it off to somebody in the paint. You know, he can find Mitch on the Gotham Mob. But as of right now, no. RJ is not the guy that can create for himself. He can get going if someone can help create for him. And that's where someone like D. Rose, Kemba Walker can come into play, and that's what we're looking for. As of right now, if you have Julius just create, looking to create for himself and trying to create for others, we see it's a little too stagnant. So this is where I don't – it's hard to give a full evaluation on RJ, but the caller has a very fair critique in saying, like, how good can – is he that all-star level? Because if you're an all-star, you look at all these guys who are all-star – they can create for themselves. They don't need anyone to create for him. Yeah. And he's just not there yet.
It's fair. I think all that is fair. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Knicks fall, man, 109 to 103. If you're looking for the Discord link should be going around. If you're looking to call us up, call 657-383-1509 is the number to call. Knicks Post Game Live presented by Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com. Enter promo code KFTV for 20% off plus free shipping on your total purchase. All right, a couple more calls before we wrap up. Let's see who else we got on the phones right now. See who we got. Oh, I got a hand from my guy JJ from Brooklyn. JJ, what's going on?
Yo, yo, CP, Alex, what's going on, fellas? What's
good? How you feeling, bro?
What's going on?
Good, man. Yo, CP, first, man, I wanted to say thanks a lot, bro. Like, when I was in the chat the other day, I was like, yo, I'm on my mind now. So, yo, I appreciate that for real, man.
Yeah,
it's really dope, man.
No doubt,
man. It was definitely a cool, unexpected surprise, man. Appreciate that for real. You know how much I love this show. And so, yeah, really dope, man. Appreciate it a lot, bro. Thanks, man.
No doubt, man. Just hold it down. Hold it down against all the trolls. You know what I mean? You
got
to be a high.
I got you.
Comes with a lot
absolutely,
of responsibility.
Yeah, I got you.
What do you think?
I got you. Yo, first shout out to Edgar, man. He's doing a great job behind the phones, man. Real good dude. Real nice guy, man. Shout out to Edgar, man. But I actually wanted to say what the previous caller was saying, man. I just want to know, what's your guys' level of concern with RJ? CP, you know I've kind of never been behind RJ. Like, I argue with my boys about this all the time. They're like, yo, he's going to be a superstar. I've told you that from a minute ago, that I never saw that in him. But now it's just like, yo, I'm not going to lie, his defense has been really good tonight against Levine. His defense was really impressive. I'm not going to deny that. But I'm not trying to draft Tony Allen with the third overall pick. You know what I'm saying? Like, He's missing the bunnies, as you guys were saying. Like, I keep going back to that play against Hayward where he couldn't even jump off the floor on the layup where he got blocked. Like, you're 21. Where are your hops? Like, where is your athleticism? I know he's not, like, the most gifted player, but he's missing the bunnies. His jump shot is all messed up right now. Like, just the bunnies, it just drives me crazy. He had that stretch of, like, 4 or 5 games in a row where I was like, yo, he's actually finishing really, really well at the hoop. I was like, you know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, this could be big. And then it's not just 3 or 4 games. This is, like, 9 games in a row. He can't hit a free throw, a layup, a 3, a mid-range shot. I'm just –
yeah.
I've never sold on him being
– man.
You know.
I think it's confidence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you think so?
I think it's confidence, especially with shooting. I think it's confidence, man.
Yeah, right. So I never thought his upside was that huge, but like now I'm just like nervous. Is he just like a decent role player? Like, how concerned are you guys about that? That's pretty much all I wanted to say, man. Thanks so much.
He very well could be. I mean, for me, I feel like, as I said, his floor at worst is a 3-and-D role player. You know what I'm saying? I think it's a better chance of that than him becoming a superstar. I'll tell you that. But again, depending on the pieces that you put around him, put with him, and who he's playing with, I still think he could be a valuable piece to your team. He just may not be he just may not turn into the superstar that you're looking for with the number 3 pick. Forget about where he was drafted. I throw that out the window, man. I don't worry about that anymore. You know, because the draft is a crapshoot. But there's no doubt he's not playing well, man. On the offensive side, he's not playing.
Yeah,
well. He's bricking.
Yeah, yeah. There's no way to cover it up.
Yeah,
you got to hit your shots and. I think, you know, like, I think there, I'm going to push back a little bit. I think there is some, I know the draft is a crapshoot. I feel like if you're picking someone third, I know it can go either way. I feel like you got to know what you're getting to a certain degree.
Where did Tyler Hero get picked? Wasn't he in the teens?
He was in the teens. Well, you can go that with Donovan.
14 or something?
Yep.
It's not like it was you're picking between 3 and 4. Who was 4? Was it Garland or DeAndre Hunter? I think it was Garland was 4.
It was Garland was 4, yeah.
So it's tough.
It's tough, but I feel like when you're drafting that high, you see guys who have been drafted that high. Granted, it's not, you know, we can go back throughout the history. I think I forget what the historical reference was. It's like, how many first round picks have actually won an NBA championship?
Mm-hmm.
And it's 3. You have Tim Duncan, LeBron James, and Kyrie Irving when he was with LeBron James on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Mm-hmm. So it's not that many people that get drafted number one that go win a championship either. So I get that the draft position doesn't have that much weight, but I feel like it kind of does, because when you're up that high and you get the opportunity to choose who you want, there should be some confidence. And this is not saying that RJ is a bad pick. We don't know really. This is not really saying anything about RJ at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like when you're up that high, you have to have pretty sure. You got to be pretty sure you've done your research to know what you're getting. It's like I look at Obi and I'm like, that's a successful draft pick. 8th pick, it's really hard to land an 8th pick. But to get a guy who's this efficient, this athletic, and people were like ready to jump out the window, ready to like throw him in any trade package last season. Now everyone's like, oh, he's amazing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, you go get a man quickly, drafted 25th, and people love quickly. I still feel like when you're up that high, you have to know what you're getting. Now, when it comes to RJ, you just got to give it time, man.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like, it's concerning. You got to give it time. If he's a role player, that's most of the NBA. That's most of the NBA. Very hard to get a superstar. Very hard to get a star.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a fact.
Very hard to draft them.
That is a fact, man. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. I'm going to go to CeeLo from Miami and then Bully on the Discord. Bully, if you're listening, get ready. CeeLo from Miami, you up next. CeeLo, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good, man. What's good, bro?
What's going on?
Good, man. I'm feeling like you guys. I feel like somebody shot my dog right now, man. I'm thoroughly disappointed. I've been thoroughly disappointed, disgusted. You know, I feel like I'm disrespected by this first unit, especially the last few games, man. Not so much this game, but I got to, you know, Fournier, you know, we knew we're going to take a loss on a defensive end, but we felt like we're going to net a bigger gain on the offense as opposed to, you know, losing on the defense with Fournier, but he's just giving us nothing, man. I'm really disappointed with Fournier. I felt irked about his, just signing him. I don't know if it was because he was on the same team as Elfrid Payton or if it was because he had a bad haircut with him, like just a bad hairdo in Orlando with Elfrid. Just something irked me about signing this guy that I did not like signing Fournier, but he gained points just on the basic fact that he had that interview with him, man. Like, he just gained points with me, CP, but we got to do something with Fournier. I don't know if we got to bring in Burks in the first unit. Just Fournier is a real problem on the defense. He just throws up his hands every time he comes around the screen. It's just a real issue.
Yeah.
He's giving us nothing, you know. And, like, I never agree with anything that Jay from Florida I never agree with anything he says, man, but the fact that he's sitting on the bench and we got so many millions of dollars sitting on the bench in the fourth quarter, bro, it's just it's disgusting, man. Like I said, I feel disappointed with this team, bro, and, I got nothing else to say, dog. I'm just really disappointed. I don't feel as bad about this loss as opposed to the last loss, but this is disgusting, bro, and, this is horrible, bro, but, yeah, that's all I got for you guys. Thank you, man.
Hang in there, man. My guy CeeLo from Miami. Hey, it's always an interesting show when Jay from Florida, the Debbie Downer, gets his flowers. You know what I'm saying? It's always an interesting show when my guy Jay from Florida gets his flowers. I don't know if you saw last night, Al, on We hit the streets. Me and Papa Left were in the streets last night doing the show. Post game live on location, aka Knicks Fan TV after dark. So me and Papa Left is out there holding the vibe. We're just rapping. And I did notice this dude that was behind us like the whole time, just kind of just, you know, listening to what we like, ear hustling, but also just part of the neighborhood. You know, it's New York City, so you don't really think nothing crazy. And then all of a sudden, I hear no Debbie Downers. I was like, wait, what? Say that again, sir? He said, yeah, no Debbie Downers. Turn around. Shout out my guy. I think his name was John Goodman. OG Knicks fan from 67. Fan of the show. Subscriber. Calling out Jay from Florida. No Debbie Downers, bro. No Debbie. This is me and Papa Left. We was on like the corner, like 30th and 7th. You ought to be just rapping post game. And shout out for John Goodman. I don't remember if that was his last name, but his name was John for sure. Lived around the corner, and yeah, man, he was just out there just listening. But then he called out Jay from Florida, low key.
You got me thinking about the actor right here, John Goodman.
Yeah. I forgot his last name, man. Papa Left might know. If you go back in the video, he gives his name. But now we had a good vibe with him, and then he came over to Mustang Harry's. We got something to eat and whatnot. Was chopping it up with him as well. So it was a good laugh.
That should only tell you how popular this channel is, how awesome this channel is, that you're getting everyone anywhere that you're recognizable at this point, man.
Crazy.
The brand is strong, as they say. You know what I mean?
Did you see Han Solo pull up on us?
I saw that.
Yeah, that wasn't playing. That was not playing. Yeah, Han Solo pulled up on us. So it was fun. Definitely had a lot of fun last night. So shout out to everyone who came through. Shout out to everyone who tuned in, man. We had a good show live from the street, so I have to do that a little bit more often. Shout out Mark McGinnis for the $5 super chat. He says, RJ improved from year one to year two. This season is still young, and there are some older cats here. Thanks for putting these shows together. Shout out Mark McGinnis II on the check-in. All right, a couple more calls before we wrap. I said I was going to go to Bully on the Discord, so let's go to him. Bully, get ready. Bully, live and direct on the Discord. Did I do that right? Hold on. I'm bricking. I'm like RJ, bricking from the free throw line here. Hold on. Let me make sure my drag and drop skills are on point. Hold on there. All right. What's going on here? Hang tight. All right, Bully's in here. Bully, what's good, bro?
Hello?
Yo, what's good, man?
All right. Yeah, you know, I'm not going to say anything too crazy, but the same thing, in my opinion, that caused our, we won to the Rockets, but it wasn't a good win. The same thing applies to this loss right here. We just don't have an identity. In my opinion, we don't have an identity. If Julius Randle, right, is going to be the number one guy, which I have no problem with that, right? Where's the number two? Right? Where's the number two guy?
Yeah.
Okay. You have the Bulls. They have the number one and the number two, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine.
Mm-hmm.
And you have ball facilitating. Where's our number one and where's our number two? I have no problem with Julius Randle being the number one, but where's the number two?
Mm-hmm.
I think that we're expecting RJ Barrett to do too much too fast. This is his third year, and he still needs to navigate the NBA. I know that, you know, some people are impatient. Give the man some time, okay? He's in a slump. Everyone goes through it. But when you're looking at the box score, I mean, it's not always we can't always rely on our bench to step up for the starting lineup. I'm just sick and tired. The starting lineup. I'm sick and tired of Julius Randle going for 34, right? And then no one else helping him out.
Yeah.
Or Julius Randle going for 16 the other night and no one else doing anything else.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not like I don't want to put the blame on just one person or the other, right? But all I'm saying is that we don't have an identity, in my opinion. I don't know how we get that identity. I just don't know. Another point that I would like to make, why is it that we have, like, no offense? We have no offense. We have four guys standing on the perimeter, one guy in the paint. No one wants to drive. No one wants to do anything. No one wants to play some defense. right? Julius Randle, I love the guy, right? But he's taking the ball up. Why is he ever taking the ball? Like, these are the things that we have to hash out now before the season gets too deep. Because if we don't hash these out, we're not even going to make the playoffs. We're going to make the playoffs if we don't hash these things out.
Yeah, it's fair points, man. Fair points. And I think, and appreciate the call, Bully. I think, the stagnation on the offense comes from the fact. Look at how night and day the offense looked, or how things looked when Kemba was attacking in that third quarter. Look how things changed. It was night and day. Conversely, you had the first quarter where, I mean, the passes were just, you had lazy passes, sloppy passes. I think we had like 8 turnovers. No aggression, not attacking in the paint. And we had nothing going. When your engine is the engine, things are going to happen. Now, we don't cut well. And we didn't do that. We weren't even that great at cutting last year. We were a little bit better last year. It wasn't great. But again, we don't emphasize off-ball movement in our offensive sets. So that's how you get a lot of stagnation. It's very easy to get that.
You know, first thing I want to say is that when someone starts off a call saying, I'm not going to say anything too crazy, you get me concerned because I think you're going to say something too crazy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, facts.
But no, the call is on point. I think the thing with Tibbs is, like, we know Tibbs is not known for his offense. He's never been known for his offense.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of what you get with Tibbs. You're hoping that Johnny Bryant or someone else on the coaching staff can help generate offense, mm-hmm. and can help think of ways to help generate offense for this team. But it's once again, I'd like to see Kemba be the initiator, the playmaker, because right now he's just out there waiting to shoot, and that's not really who Kemba is. We're doing a lot through Julius, and I don't think we need to do a lot through Julius. I think it really needs to go through Kemba's hands to really just to even out the playmaking, just to get something going, because I talked about it. You saw the pick and roll. We were wishing that for last year. I was shocked to even see it too with him and Randle, and that works. You see how easy that works. He's a big dude rolling down the lane. That's just easy money right there. And then it also opens up a shot for Kemba. There's just ways to get Kemba going, help move this offense along. I just feel like we need someone to help think of different ways to get this offense going. It's just sadly not Tibbs. It's just not Tibbs' forte. Yeah. He's a defensive guy. I think we're just missing that offensive, like, someone's got to help figure out something, because we saw too much freelancing. These guys aren't there yet to really know each other's tendencies. Mm-hmm. So someone's got to create some sort of system for all these guys to actually get it working.
So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. All right, here's how the calls are going to go. And we're looking for rapid fire. It's getting late out here in the East Coast. We're going to go to Val. Then we're going to go to It's Rosé on the Discord. So It's Rosé on the Discord. Get ready. And then we're going to close with Angel. All right. So Val from Jersey. Val, what's good?
Hi, how are you guys doing?
What's good, bro?
All right. To go quickly, I think the issue with R.J. Barrett is he's thrusted in a new role. You're having him be a 3-and-D player when he was never a good three-point shooter or a defensive player. However, the quick fix for this is that he has to be on the floor at the same time as someone that's going to alleviate some of that defensive pain, someone like a Quickley. You're trusting R.J. to guard the elite perimeter player and have Evan Fournier and Kemba Walker as his support. If you put R.J. on the floor with someone like Quickley who can help out on defensive assignments, similar to how Paul George and Kawhi do in L.A., I think R.J. will get his legs back and he'll be able to perform at a higher level. But until we do that, R.J. is going to be burnt out because you're thrusting him as the lead defender, which he never was. And I do see R.J. eventually improving because Paul George had to do it, Kawhi had to do it, and Chris Middleton had to do it. And that's my quick point. You guys, good night. Everybody like the video and share and continue supporting. Shout out to St. John's and shout out to Edgar. Peace.
Let's go, my guy. Val coming hot. Let's go. Rapid fire. I like that, man. Salute to Val. That's what I like, man. Just be efficient.
I don't even think if you took a breath.
Yeah. Just be efficient, man. Yes, we're doing well. Yes, we had a good weekend, man. We appreciate the love. Well, we just got to be efficient out there. You know what I'm saying? Come with your heat and keep it pushing. All right. It's Rosé. We're going to you. It's Rosé 1 on the Discord. Rose, what's going on? Rose.
What's going on, fellas?
Yo, what's going on, bro?
Hey, so I got a few points.
All right.
Number one, I think our starting lineup needs a lot more spacing. And I think people feel a little bit more comfortable with spacing.
How you want to do that?
It's a little bit dramatic, but maybe send RJ to the bench and bring in either Quickly or Burks for him. So we have a lot more spacing on the court rather than having three non-shooters out there at once.
All right.
What y'all think?
I mean, it's hard. It's a tough call. You know what I mean? Like, ideally, like I said, I think RJ would play a lot better with that second unit. Do I think Tibbs takes him out of the starting unit? I think you would have to see a lot more of these type of outings before he does that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He certainly showed that he's not afraid to close with RJ in there. So I don't know, man. You know, this kid, he was on point. He was on point from three earlier this season. He was on point from three last season. I still think, you know, defensive has to respect him. He's got to knock down his shots when he's getting them. But I do think staggering his minutes with Julius would help him. I really do. I think him running with that second unit is where he'll do his most damage.
Yeah, and my final point was specifically about RJ. And I am kind of concerned because I feel like he's never going to be, at least with his form right now, he's never going to be a consistent shooter.
Yeah.
And he's obviously not a great athlete. He struggles finishing at the rim consistently.
Bunnies.
I don't know. Like one of the other callers said, I don't know what he's going to be. Because if you can't finish at the rim consistently with that size and you're obviously not a great shooter, what are you?
Yeah.
Like I think he's a high IQ guy. And he kind of knows, like, where to be and how to get to places sometimes, but he just can't execute once he gets there. Like, he can read it, but he can't actually execute what needs to be done. Those are just my thoughts.
I hear you, bro. Good point. Shout out to it's Rose on the check-in. Good call on that. Al, anything new to that before we close with Angel?
I would just say that, like, for spacing, I feel like we have – unless you're asking for more consistent shooters, we have the spacing in the starting lineup. I mean, Fournier can shoot, Walker can shoot, RJ can shoot. They're just not all necessarily hitting their shots, but we have the spacing.
I think if you're talking about spacing, you're talking about taking your big man out and putting Obi in there, which I don't think Tibbs is going to do on a full-time basis.
Like take out Noel or take out Mitch and just have Obi in there with Randall?
Right. That you're not going to get that.
That's not going to happen. He's reluctant to do that right now, even when he's forced to. If he's not going to do it when he's forced to, it is highly unlikely that Thibodeau will change those ways.
That is a fact. All right, let's wrap it up with Angel closing out tonight. Angel, what's going on?
Yo, what's good, CP? Alex, what's good, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good, man. What's going on?
What's going on, Angel?
Hey, listen, man, first thing first, y'all know what it is, man. Hit that thumbs up for y'all boys, man. Hit that subscribe button as well. We need to get to that 50K, you know what I'm saying? And listen, I know it's not a good day right now, but it's always a good day when the Cowboys lose. So let's just start off right there, man. Uh-huh. And first, man, when you look at this game, I'm going to give you some facts, right?
Uh-huh.
What cost us in this game was the perimeter defense. We gave up 5 threes in the fourth quarter. That's where we lost the game. When you look at everything else, we had more free throws. The rebounds was right around the same as Chicago. But also the turnovers killed us. That's the thing. We got to limit the turnovers, and we got to limit the three-point shooting in the fourth quarter because that's what cost us the game. And, you know, as far as RJ, right, the thing with RJ is we're playing a slow-paced game. We need a point guard that can run the floor with RJ, which is why he works so good with the second unit because they're running the floor. You know, like you're putting him as a spot-up shooter when he's not a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
RJ needs the ball in his hands for number one. And number two, you have to make him a focal point of the offense. I get it. Randall is you know, he's the best scorer on the team right now. But you also got to have RJ with the ball in his hand. You can't expect him to, you know, shut down LaVine. And he played great defense on LaVine the whole night. And mm-hmm. he had 15 rebounds. It's not like he, you know, the thing with RJ is he had a lot of good numbers. It just wasn't scoring. You know, I'll take defense over offense any day. That's just my personal opinion. Now, do you want to see more? Yes, obviously you do. But we got to make him a focal point of the offense, which is why I think in the third quarter, mm-hmm. we should make Kemba and we should make RJ more of a focal point of the offense, because I thought Kemba should have played instead of IQ tonight. And that's just my honest opinion, because I thought we were better with Kemba just for tonight. But, mm-hmm. you know, all in all, you know, I thought we were going to get our butt whipped in the third quarter. But surprisingly, we were actually really good in the third quarter. But the only difference was is the bench couldn't hold it up because of the perimeter defense. So we just got to be consistent, man. Like, if we can just get both to click at the same time, this team is going to win games. Now, mm-hmm. the next 10 games, what I want to see, just play hard, be consistent, and we didn't shoot well from three. But I like the fact that we went to the basket because it kept us in the game. So, Amen. You know, if we can just have that mindset, the shots are going to start falling because, let's just be honest, there's some bad shots. Everything ain't perfect, but we are missing some wide open shots. We just got to knock it down, you know, and it looks bad right now when you look at the schedule, but take mm-hmm. it one day at a time, yo. That's what we got to do. And sure. CP, it was an honor to talk to you on Instagram Live. It was funny, but
yo,
it was so
it was
dope.
It was a vibe, man. We're going to do that again, man. We're definitely going to do
definitely, bro. And thank you guys
time,
for
bro.
Taking my call.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it, bro. Yeah, Fan Fridays was lit, man. It was me, Angel, Ari came through, CP the Artist came through. So, yeah, we're definitely going to factor in the whole IG wave and do some IG lives and stuff. Some people, you know, are more IG people than YouTube. So, mm-hmm. you know, definitely taking that into consideration. But definitely had a good time. All right, closing, though, Jay Boogie's here. I didn't know if he was coming, but he's here. Jay Boogie from North Carolina closing the show. Let's go.
Salute, three capital S's. Shout out to everybody rocking with this orange and blue. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Shout out to everybody, you know what I'm saying, that love and breathe this thing like we all do, you know what I'm saying? Y'all mm-hmm. some great people, man. Y'all loyal people. You got to be respected like that, man. To hang out with the squad, you know what I'm saying, through the toughest times and help push them to get over the toughest times, you know what I'm saying? That's how loyal we all are, man. Salute to all y'all people, man. Shout out to my man, my GM, CP, a caring person. Let me break his name down like that. And shout out to my man, Alex, rocking with him, the young Pete Sampras. But I'm going to swap you out next game, Alex. I'm going to swap you out for Evan Fournier because y'all beards look alike, so I can bring him on the channel. I need to talk to him a little bit, you know what I'm saying, about what's going on. You know what I'm saying? But I want to give a special shout-out to Mr. Alan Hahn. That's why I gave you them flowers. If you're listening right now, that's why I gave you them flowers the last time you was on the show, man. Well, respect and appreciate you, man, just coming through, hanging out with the guys, man. CP, man, y'all look like some great gentlemen, man. I was watching that, man. I couldn't do nothing but enjoy the footage and everything of what y'all was doing last night. Salute to y'all, you know what I'm saying? Y'all great men, man. But it's an issue going on with our squad. The problem I don't like, and I don't like what's going on, I'm trying to figure out how can we go from bad contracts and bad players to finally getting somewhere and getting rid of people in the office and changing over the office staff and go from, you know what I'm saying, being chosen as a 20 or less team and wind up winning more than 40 games and wind up getting a coach of the year, wind up getting an all-star player and go to the playoffs in the first time in a long time to saying now we got our culture back. Now we ain't got our identity. How in the world do we do that? Go through all that to get to our culture and wind up with no identity on the floor, man. Tom needs to do something about our squad, man. We need to change up and switch up some things immediately, ASAP, man. Ain't no waiting. Ain't no playing around. Ain't no joking. I don't care about your feelings. I don't care about how much money you make. I don't care what pick you was picked. You know what I'm saying? If you're not performing, you do not need to be on the floor. We need to stop pampering and babying some of these guys. I don't care if you're 22, 23. You're in the league, you know? Some of these guys wake up in the morning, they going in the bathroom like it ain't no mirror in the bathroom. They ain't even seeing their face. So they don't even know how they look. They don't even know how to, you know what I'm saying, to talk to themselves, to motivate themselves, man. I don't know what's happening on, but I tell you one thing, I'm going to that Atlanta game this weekend, and I'm going to be right behind that bench. I'm going to be getting right in some of them guys' ear. They know who I am, so I'm going to do what I got to do to help motivate and turn this thing around, man, because this doesn't make no sense, man. This is supposed to be our season. We're supposed to be thinking about getting to the Eastern Conference. Man, we don't even know if we're going to make the play-in unless we start the bench. I told y'all before, the bench can make the play-in. The starting five, that's just a plus, but we're not gelling like we're supposed to gel. We need to find the peanut butter so we can have the peanut butter jelly and sandwiches, all that, man. We need to figure these things out real fast, real quick, in a hurry up, man, you know what I'm saying? And I don't give up. Don't throw nobody up under the buses, none of that. Don't do that, y'all. Don't do that. Don't give up on your players. Don't give up on your teams, you know what I'm saying? But just get through some more frustration, man, and pray that we get to a better situation, man. Pray that we get to winning some games. Because I know it's tough when we're playing against bums and we ain't even smashing them, and the tough part of the schedule ain't even came. So you figure, man, oh, man, what are we going to do now? Well, last year, just to give us some hope, they said the same thing about the tough schedules we was going on last year, and we turned around and proved everybody wrong. So now we got to do the same thing. Jump up and handle your business and do what you got to do on that court, man. God bless you all, man. Everybody continue on staying healthy and safe. Tomorrow's a new day. Monday, first day of the week. Don't get mad. You got to go to work. Be grateful and thankful you got a job to go through, man. Be grateful and thankful you got a way to pay your bills, take care of your family, and everything you need to do in life, man. God bless you. Three capital S's. Salute, salute, salute.
And he's out of there. Throw some fives in the chat for Jay Boogie. Closing the show like he usually does, man.
Mm-hmm.
With bars, bro. Straight bars.